Syntech CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.
Mothers of the Believers, Lives of the Wives of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Imam Suhaib Webb.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira, amma ba'ra, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Safiya, subhanallah, who came from a very interesting lineage. Actually, our mother Safiya radiallahu anha كانت يهودية. She was a Jewish woman. Her father Huy, he traced his lineage back to Ishaq and all the way back to Ibrahim alayhim assalam. Her mother, her name was Barrah bint Samawal, and she came from the famous Jewish tribe of Qurayza. Her background, subhanAllah, her mother and father belonged to the leading Jewish family in the Jazeera, in the Arabian Peninsula, and were considered the most distinguished families amongst the Jews of Arabia. She was married twice before she married the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her first marriage was to Salm bin Miskam al-Quraydi, who was a poet and a warrior, and they divorced around 6 years after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina. Later on, she married Kinana ibn Abdul Huqiq, and he was also a warrior, and he belonged to the tribe of Qurayza. In the Battle of Khaybar, Safiya radiallahu anha, her family was opposed to the armies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, her uncles and her father were some of the greatest enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, as a young woman, she narrates the following incident that happened, that one day her uncles came to her father and they were talking amongst themselves about a man in Medina who claimed to be a prophet. Her father was asking her uncle, "Is it him?" And her uncle was saying, "Yes." "Is it really him?" "Yes, yes, yes." But they refused to follow him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was an Arab. Thus they became some of the greatest enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this battle, she lost her father, her uncles, and her brothers, and she was taken captive by the armies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dihya al-Kalbi radiyallahu anhu, he was one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after the Battle of Khaybar, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked him to allow him to take some prisoners of war. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave him permission. A quick lesson we can take here is the discipline of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you look at the Battle of Uhud, in the Battle of Uhud, we know that the archers, they lacked discipline and they went after the spoils of war. But now, subhanAllah, we see the tarbiyah of the Prophet, that now in the Battle of Khaybar, even after the war is over and even after they've won, now they are still coming to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here's Dahya al-Kalbi and asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permission before he takes even one thing from the spoils of war. MashaAllah, look at this transformation and this tarbiyah process that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving the companions. Dahya al-Kalbi, he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked him permission to take some prisoners of war. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave Dahya permission. Then Dahya, as he was going through the prisoners of war, he spotted Safiya bint al-Huy. Safiya bint Huy, radiallahu anha, and he took her as his prisoner of war. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of his companions, he came to him and he said, "Dahya has taken Safiya bint Huy, who is the Sayyida of the Qurayza and Banu Nadir, who is the Sayyida of these two great, great Jewish tribes, the master of these, or the princess, you can say, of these two great Jewish tribes. Ya Rasulullah, she should only be with you," sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called Dahya back and he ordered him to give Safiya to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, look at the discipline of Dahya. Then Dahya, he brought Safiya radiallahu anha back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered Dahya to take another prisoner of war and exchange that prisoner of war for Safiya bint Huy radiallahu anha. Dahya, he did it. SubhanAllah, look at the discipline and the thiqah and the belief in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he proposed to marry Safiya bint Huy and she accepted radiallahu anha. Some of the scholars said that she accepted Islam in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the Prophet married her, attributing her acceptance of Islam to the incident which happened between her father and her uncle. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala ta'ala alam. But subhanallah, look at the statement of Safiya after her marriage and freedom to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, "When I was in bondage, there was no one that I hated greater than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And after he freed me, there was no one more beloved to me than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Subhanallah. Look at the character of the Prophet. How with his character he can melt the hearts of his greatest enemies. On the way back to Medina, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he conducted the walima. And from that point on until Medina, Safiya radiallahu anha rode on the same animal with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she wore the mantle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to signify that she was his wife. And this all happened 7 years after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Medina. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah radiallahu anhu, he makes a very interesting note about the marriage of our mother Safiya radiallahu anha to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his book Zadul Ma'ad, which subhanallah is a fabulous book. He says that the marriage of Safiya was unique because her release by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was her mahr. Subhanallah, Safiya, our mother, she had a reputation of being a very charming and pretty woman. And when she arrived in Medina, she was put up in the home of Harith bin Nu'man radiallahu anhu. And once she was there, a large number of sisters from the Sahabiyat, they came to greet her and welcome her to the community. Subhanallah, something that reoccurs unfortunately a lot in North America. And I've heard this a lot from new Muslim sisters as well as non-Muslim women who came to visit us in our masajid and at our gatherings by MSA, is the coldness of our Muslim sisters, that they don't greet visitors and new people who come to the masajid. Subhanallah, here's Safiya bint Hayy coming to Medina, staying in the house of Harith bin Nu'man radiallahu anhu, and subhanallah, a multitude of sisters are coming to meet her and greet her and welcome her to the community. Aisha radiallahu anha, she came, and when she saw Safiya, she was a little bit jealous of the beauty of Safiya and the great character of Safiya radiallahu anha. And as she was leaving the home of Harith, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, he was walking with our mother Aisha, and he said to her, "What do you think, ya Aisha?" And Aisha said, "He Yahudiya, she's a Jewish woman." The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Don't say like this. She has become Muslim and her Islam is better." And this is related by Ibn Sa'd in his famous book of history. Upon also her arrival to Medina, she gave some gold to the other wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as to make subhanAllah their relation solidified and to make their relation strong. Even after her marriage to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and her time in Medina, some of the other wives would tease our mother Safiya radiallahu anha about being a relative of the Jewish people. Subhanallah, one day she came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she was upset. And she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Hafsa and Aisha, they are teasing me about my connection to my family." The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to her, "Say to them, كَيْفَ تَكُونَانِ خَيْرًا مِنِّي وَزَوْجِ مُحَمَّدْ وَأَبِي هَارُونَ وَعَمِّي مُوسَى عَلَيْهِمْ سَلَامُ." She was instructed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to them, "How is it that you two could be better than me when my husband is Muhammad and my father is Harun? And my uncle is Musa alayhi salam." MashaAllah, subhanAllah. After this, they never said anything negative to our mother, Safiya radiallahu anha. One time, our mother Safiya radiallahu anha, she was coming back from one of the battles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and her camel got sick and died, and she became very upset. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he asked Zainab bin Jahsh to give one of her camels to Safiya. And Zainab bin Jahsh, she said something derogatory about Safiya, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't speak to her for 1 month. SubhanAllah, now brothers, sometimes we come home and we hear our wives backbiting other people on the phone. Sometimes we sit together and we backbite people. SubhanAllah, look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, discipline his wife, teaching her not to talk badly about anyone, not to make fun of anyone. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin asa an yakunu khayran minhum wa la nisa وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِّسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنَّ وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ بِئْسَ الِاسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, do not allow a people to make fun of another people, for perhaps the people who are making fun of others, they are not better than those they are making fun of. Nor allow women to make fun of other women, because perhaps those women that they are making fun of, those women who are the object of ridicule, are better than those who are ridiculing. This verse, many ulama said, was sent because of our mother Safiya radiallahu anha, and the fact that people used to tease her, some of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because subhanAllah, she was short. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's disciplined his wives not to backbite, not to make fun of others. Also, brothers and sisters, it's important that we protect each other from backbiting and teasing other people. SubhanAllah, the other day I was sitting with one brother and he said something very nice before we started talking. He said, before we engage in any conversation, let's all make sure that we don't have the intention to say anything bad about anyone else. SubhanAllah, we can do this as husband and wife. When we sit together and we talk, let's make sure that we don't say anything derogatory about anyone, and so on and so forth. There was a very interesting incident which happened in the life of Safiya with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is authentically reported. And SubhanAllah, from this very, very beautiful hadith, we see the love and the bond that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had with our mother Safiya radiallahu anha. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was observing i'tikaf in the masjid during the month of Ramadan, and our mother Safiya radiallahu anha, she had come to the masjid to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to pray and supplicate to her Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it was time for her to leave in the night after the salah of Taraweeh, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left his i'tikaf to walk her home. SubhanAllah, why? Because it's important for a man to take care of his family. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, brothers, he escorted his wife, SubhanAllah, to her house. And on the way, as they were walking, a group of companions from a distance, they saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam walking with his wife, Safiya bint Hi radiallahu anha. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to them, hey, this is my wife, Safiya. This is Safiya, the daughter of Hi. The companions of the Prophet, they said, SubhanAllah, Ya Rasulullah, how could we ever think something about you like this, that would be a woman that you are not allowed to walk with? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, indeed, shaitan, he travels to the people like the blood in their veins. And I was scared that shaitan would throw something in your hearts. Something to this meaning is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. We take an important lesson here, that in the da'wah, the person involved in da'wah should not allow people to have doubts upon them. Should not do anything as an MSA president, as an imam of a masjid, as an active sister on campus, which will allow others to doubt my character and doubt my integrity. Here we see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even he knows that he's with his wife, but still he makes it very, very clear to the people. This is my wife. This is my family member. I am perfectly allowed to walk with her in the night. The death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was especially difficult on our mother Safiya radiallahu anha, because she was very much attached to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when he fell ill, the wives of the Prophet came to him and they were supplicating for him and greeting him and saying khair, saying good things to him. And suddenly, as the agony of death approached the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, our mother Safiya, she cried out, "O Prophet of Allah, I wish I could take all your pain and all your suffering for myself." Subhanallah, the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they became shocked and they looked at her as if to say, "You know, what are you saying?" Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said something very, very beautiful about our mother radiallahu anha. He looked at his wives and he said, "Indeed, she has spoken the truth. Wallahi innaha la sadiqa." As related by Imam al-Dhahabi and Sirah ala Manubala, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he looked at his other wives and said, "This woman is speaking the truth. If she could, she would do it." Why? Because by Allah, she is a truthful woman, a truthful person. Our mother Safiya, what was it that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had which burrowed into the depths of her heart and caused her to be so attached to her husband? Listen to the statement of our mother Safiya radiallahu anha about her husband Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She says, "ما رأيت قط أحسن خلقا من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم." She says, "I never ever saw anyone with better character than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Brothers, it's a recurring theme in the lives of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the number one impact on their lives is the character of their husband. It's melting their hearts. It's causing them to, subhanAllah, change and love him so much. So subhanAllah, brothers, if we want our wives to love us, if we want our wives to respect us, if we want our wives to honor us, if we want our wives to be good to us, then let us be good to them. Let us honor them. Let us respect them. Let us be good to them in the same way that we want them to be good to us. Her life after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was described as having a good nature, and she only had one simple mud home with which eventually she gave in charity to the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the outstanding qualities of our mother Safiya was her sense of humor. And there is a very, very funny incident related by Imam Ahmad radiallahu anhu, which took place between our mother Safiya and our mother Aisha, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with both of them. One day Aisha radiallahu anha, she came and Safiya and Aisha were discussing charity and spending in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she said to Safiya, kind of like she set her up, man. She said to her, "Is there anything which is most beloved to you?" And of course it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Aisha said, "Would you give me one of your days with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" And our mother Safiya, she gave, subhanAllah, one of her days which she was supposed to spend with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. And our mother Aisha, she took the khimar of Safiya and some of the perfume that Safiya used to wear, and she went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she sat next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said to her, "Ilayki ya Aisha, falaysa hadha yawmak?" The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to our mother Aisha, he said, "Be careful ya Aisha, because indeed this is not your day. This is the day of Safiya radiallahu anha." During the trial of Uthman, the trial that Uthman bin Affan went through at the hands of the rebels, she sent food to the home of Uthman to have it rejected by these enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Her knowledge, Alama Abdul Barr radiallahu anhu, he says about her that she was full of knowledge, wisdom, and sophistication. According to the scholars of hadith, our mother Safiya bint Huy radiallahu anha narrated 10 hadith on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One of those hadith is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahimahumullah. Safiya bint Huy also was known as a teacher, and many times people would come to her and ask her questions about different things, and she would say, "Harrama Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam hadha," that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbid this, or that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbid that, and so on and so forth. Her worship, Abu Na'im, in his famous Hilya, he narrates the following. Once a group of people, subhanAllah, they gathered in the house of our mother, Safiya, radiallahu anha, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were making sujood at the verses of sujood. And our mother, Safiya, she said to them, هذا السجود وتلاوة القرآن فأين البكاء. She said to them, this is the sujood that you're making and the resuscitation of the Qur'an. But where is the tears that's coming from your eyes? SubhanAllah, we see the great spiritual nature of our mother, Safiya bint Huyi, radiallahu anha, found in this hadith. Her character, she was known as being very forgiving. And one day, one of her servants, she brought a claim to Umar radiallahu anha that Safiya was still practicing the rituals of the Jews and the worship of the Jewish people. Umar radiallahu anhu, being so just, he brought Safiya and he questioned her about this. And she said, by Allah, this is not true. I still have family relations with many Jewish people, and at times I give them sadaqah and I send thanks to them because this is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be good to my family members. An important lesson for our new Muslim brothers and sisters is that you have to be kind to your family members, whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim. Here we see Safiya bint Huyi radiallahu anha, the student of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, keeping this good relationship with her family members. Then Umar radiallahu anhu, he looked at the servant of Safiya, and subhanAllah, Safiya, she said to the servant, why are you saying this? And then the servant, she said, I was lying. I made this story up out of my jealousy for Safiya. And subhanAllah, our mother radiallahu anha, she said, I forgive you and you're free as my servant. You're free to go. SubhanAllah, sisters, how difficult is it for us to forgive our own sisters? How difficult is it for us brothers to forgive other brothers? Here we see, subhanAllah, Safiya radiallahu anha, practicing the verse of Quran, وَالْكَاذِمِنَ غَيْثَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people of paradise and the people of taqwa in Surah Ali Imran as those who hide their anger and forgive the people. So subhanAllah, here we see Safiya radiallahu anha forgiven and also freeing the servant who lied about her radiallahu anha. The death of our mother took place 50 years after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she had reached the age of 60 years old. She was buried in Al-Baqi'a, and before her death, she willed 1/3 of her property to her nephew, who was a Jewish person. And subhanAllah, Aisha radiallahu anha, she made sure that this wasiyah of our mother Safiya radiallahu anha was carried out. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, when our mother Safiya died, he was sitting in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and somebody came and whispered something in his ear. And suddenly Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he made sujood, and someone asked him, you making sujood in this time between the Fajr and the sunrise? And then Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he taught us that whenever we see a difficulty or a fitna coming our way, that we should make sujood and implore the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Ibn Abbas, he said, فَأَيُّ آيَةٍ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ ذِهَابِ أَزْوَاجِ النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And what test or trial is greater than the death of one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And this story which we alluded to earlier, this wife that Ibn Abbas, he was talking about, was our mother Safiya radiallahu anha. فَجَزَاكَمَ khayran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with our mother Safiya, to give her the highest rank in paradise, and to forgive her for all her sins. Fajazakumullahu khayran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Awakening Media presents Mothers of the Believers, Lives of the Wives of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Imam Suhaib Webb.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أهلا وسهلا. Welcome to أمهات المؤمنين, the lives of our mothers, the mothers of the believers. Alhamdulillah, we've reached the final wife of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, ميمونة بنت حارث. ميمونة بنت الحارث رضي الله عنها, her father was Al-Harith, the son of Hazan from the Hilal tribe. And her mother, Hind bint Auf bin Zahir, she was from the Hamir tribe. And our mother, Maymuna radiallahu anha, she was the sister of a very, very famous personality. She was the sister of Fadl. Fadl was the wife of Abbas radiallahu anhu. She was one of the early women to accept Islam in Mecca at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Our mother Maymuna, her name was Barra, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, like a few other of his wives who had this name Barra, which means the extreme righteous woman, changed her name from Barra to Maymuna, because the name Barra, it is a name which could bring pride and arrogance in someone's personality. Thus, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he changed her name from Barra to Maymuna. She was married twice before she was married to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Her first marriage was to Mas'ud ibn Amr al-Thaqafi, and he divorced her and she married Abu Rahim bin Abdul Izza, and he passed away the seventh year after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Her marriages, she was married actually twice before her marriage to the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Her first marriage was to Mas'ud ibn Amr ibn Umair al-Thaqafi, and he divorced her, and then she married Abu Rahim bin Abdul Izza, and he died 7 years after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Medina. She was at that time 51 years old, our mother, and she was considered as an elderly person in the society of Jaziratul Arabiya, the Arabian Peninsula. Her brother-in-law Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he wanted to find Maymuna a husband as soon as possible, because he knew that at this age it would be hard for her to marry, and he didn't want her to be alone as a Muslimah, especially being his sister-in-law. So he went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he proposed on behalf of Maymuna to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu accepted the idea of Abbas, and he proposed to Maymuna radiallahu anha, and this was the seventh year after his migration in the month of Shawwal. Now keep in mind that in the sixth year, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made what was called the Sulh of Hudaybiyah with the people of the Quraysh. And there he agreed that he would not make the Umrah, but that he would wait 1 year and come back later and make the Umrah. So in this time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came back in this time of Shawwal, and this was the same time which he proposed to our mother Maymuna radiallahu anha, and they were married around 10 miles outside of Mecca at a place called Sarif. And this marriage was attended by the family members of Maymuna and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who were both Muslim and non-Muslim, because of this truce of the Hudaybiyah. Thus, subhanAllah, some of the greatest enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they came because they were relatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and relatives of Maymuna to attend this marriage. And alhamdulillah, when they saw how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conducted himself, you know, the light of prophethood fell into their hearts. And something amazing happened. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with his companions, they left the area of Sarif and began to head back to Medina. And a young man, he arose from the people of the Quraysh. And subhanallah, he gave a very, very stirring speech. And he said to his people, "Listen, O people, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a magician as alleged by the Meccans. He says what is revealed to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a true messenger of Allah." And suddenly this young man, he embraced Islam in front of all of the people of Mecca. And this young man was the nephew of our mother Maymuna bint al-Harith, none other than Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu. Subhanallah, a quick lesson that we can take now as we draw to a close discussing the lives of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our mothers, is that if you look back at all of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you find that always, alhamdulillah, some blessing, some barakah happened. Here, subhanAllah, we see the marriage of Maymuna to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is being used as a da'wah. Nowadays, subhanAllah, look at the marriages that we have as Muslims. Instead of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are calling to shaitan. Instead of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are encouraging other family members to do something wrong. And what do we say? We say, well, they're putting pressure on us. You have to combat pressure with pressure. push back and say, no, I want to do my marriage according to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to do my marriage according to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want my marriage to be a barakah, to be a da'wah. Here we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam constantly using his marriages for da'wah and to bring and unite the hearts of the people. Her knowledge, subhanAllah, the ulama, they said a lot of wonderful things about our mother, Maymuna, radiyallahu anha. Ibn Jawzi, he says that Maymuna, our mother, narrated some 30 or more hadith on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you take all of these 6 authentic books of hadith, you find that the total number of hadith related by our mother, Maymuna, are 31. In Sahih al-Bukhari, he narrates 1 hadith on her behalf. And the Sahih of Imam Muslim, rahimahumullah, he narrates 5 hadith on behalf of our mother, Maymuna, radiyallahu anha. Her students, Abdullah bin Shaddad ibn Hadi, was a great student of our mother, Maymuna, radiyallahu anha. Abdurrahman ibn Sahib, and from the women, Aliyah bin Sabi'ah and Umman Buth. These were some of the great students of our mother, Maymuna, radiyallahu anha. The areas which she gave fatwa and which she issued different statements and rulings are the following. In the area of At-Tahara, how to perform the ghusl. She talked about the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about menstruation and praying after eating with wudu. In the areas of Salah, she talked about the virtues of the Salah in the masjid, the sujood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the funeral prayer. In the areas of fasting, the fasting of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the fasting on Arafah, she also narrated the hadith about dogs and pictures and the angels not coming in those homes that have them. Her character, Aisha, our mother radiyallahu anha, is quoted to have said, Maymuna was a very God-fearing person and had a great regard for the rights of her family. She was known also for freeing slaves and praying for them upon their release. And she was fond of reforming women and making sure that women stuck to the book and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we come to a close in the life of our mother Maymuna radiyallahu anha, it's important that we talk about the greatest gift which she gave to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We mentioned around 5 of her students, but we failed to mention the greatest student of our mother Maymuna, and that was none other than her nephew, Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. Abdullah bin Abbas, once Maymuna married the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began to frequent the home of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and visit his auntie, and many times he would spend the night in the home of Maymuna when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there. SubhanAllah, although Ibn Abbas was around 13 years old or younger, still, he would make sure that he would stay in the house of his auntie when he knew that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be in her house. That was because Abdullah bin Abbas, he wanted to gain knowledge from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, Maymuna bintul Harith, she raised Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, and she gave him as a gift to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, we go to the hadith related by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, which they agreed upon, related by Abdullah bin Abbas, and he says, I spent the night fi bayt khalati Maymuna bint al-Harith. One night, I spent the night in the home of my aunt Maymuna bint al-Harith, zawji nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to pray qiyamul layl, subhanAllah, in the home of Maymuna. Can you imagine, subhanAllah, this young boy watching the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pray Salatul Qiyam? Parents, can your children say that they saw you praying Salatul Qiyam? Brother, can your wife say she saw you praying Salatul Qiyam? Sister, can your husband say, I remember one night my wife was praying Salatul Qiyam? SubhanAllah, look at the impact of the behavior of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon this young boy, Abdullah bin Abbas. Abdullah bin Abbas, in his later days, when he would become an old man, he would lose his eyesight. In fact, there were lines on his face from what? From when he used to cry in the night, from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhu learned directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the home of his auntie Maymuna رضي الله عنها. عبد الله بن عباس, he continues and he said, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying, so I went and I got on the left side of the Prophet and I began to pray with him, and then the Prophet grabbed me and put me on his right side. This hadith is related by the Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Her death, subhanAllah, she died 61 years after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was 80 years old, and it is interesting to note that she died, subhanAllah, in Saraf, the same place where she married the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her prayers were led by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma and the son of her nephew Khalid bin Walid. And subhanAllah, when the people were lowering our mother Maymuna radiallahu anha into the ground, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said the following, be easy, she's your mother. Be easy, she's your mother. We leave now the life of the last wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last woman that he would marry before he departed from this dunya sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our mother Maymuna, to forgive her and to give her the highest level of paradise. Fajazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, on the 24th day of Rabi'u Thani, 1424, after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we finished the lives of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this solely for His sake and to purge this work of any riyah or any lack of sincerity therein. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly, who without His permission and guidance we could have never accomplished this. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala كَمَا عَدَدَ خَلْقِهِ وَرِضَى نَفْسِهِ وَزِنَةَ عَرْشِهِ وَمِدَادِ كَلِمَاتِهِ ثُمَّ نُصَلِّ عَلَى حَبِيبِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ. Then we ask that the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَزْوَاجِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ, and upon his family members and wives and companions and those who follow their way into the end of time. We conclude the lives of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our mothers, ummahatul mu'mineen. And subhanallah, we have traversed a noble legacy, followed lofty footsteps, and come to the end of a great, great, great conquest. After looking at their lives, we have answered the all-important question, where is the place of the Muslim woman in Islamic work today? And indeed, we have identified an innumerable amount of places, but let's talk about a few. First is in the da'wah. Second is in ibadah. Third is in politics. Fourth is in family issues. And fifth, leadership in certain areas. We find that the constraints placed on our sisters in these modern times are new shackles that were broken by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam many years ago. For indeed, during the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, women engaged in da'wah, taught, gave advice, and even attended the battlefield during the battles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What we found in the life of the Prophet and the women who lived with him was balance. The balance between two extremes. The extreme of feminism and the extreme of you can't do anything, shut your mouth, stay at the house, and chill. SubhanAllah, if we look back at the marriages of the Prophet ﷺ to many of our mothers, we find that they were full of wisdom and blessing. For example, our mother Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, we found that a woman can indeed propose to a man through her marriage to the Prophet ﷺ. We find that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, his marriage to her brought him close to the Quraysh and enabled them to know him better and better, so that when he became a prophet, those who knew him immediately followed him, and those who were his enemies could throw nothing at his flawless character. And also he took the important lesson that a man can marry an older woman. The marriage of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Sauda bin Zam'a, we find that the Prophet protected this weak new Muslim sister who was alone, surrounded by the enemies of her faith, with no one to shelter and protect her. Thus Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taking her under his wing and marrying her and protecting her. And nowadays, subhanAllah, in many, many countries where the Muslims are minorities, although the enmity of the non-Muslims is not the same as it was amongst the Quraysh, still we have many sisters with no husbands, and it's time that our communities reacted and took care of them. His marriage to Aisha, we find, subhanAllah, that the Prophet Muhammad wanted to strengthen his relationship with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and we find that the Prophet Muhammad left a legacy in this woman who would teach countless and countless and countless numbers of women from her time and even after her that would continue to benefit the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The marriage of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to Salama, we find that the greatness of this marriage came from her helping and advising the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Sulh of Hudaybiyah. Habiba radiallahu anha, her marriage brought about this muwaddah, so that when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her, and later on her father Abu Sufyan and her brother Muawiyah became Muslim, everything alhamdulillah was very nice, because they knew that the husband of their sister and their daughter was a noble man by how he treated her. Zainab bin Jahsh, the marriage of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam destroyed all of the pagan and ignorant customs that existed amongst the Arabs with regards to the adopted son. Even back with Aisha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Aisha in the month of Shawwal. And before his marriage to Aisha, it was considered a bad omen in Jazeera to marry in the month of Shawwal. That's why if you look at some of the marriages of the Prophet, you find that many of them, like his marriage to Maymuna bint al-Harith, happened in the month of Shawwal. Why? To destroy this ignorant concept that this month was an evil month, which one should not get married in. As we finish now, it's important that if we take the lives of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, Sheikh Abdul Karim Zaidan, he mentioned in his book Al-Mufassil fi Ahkam al-Marra wa Bayt al-Muslim fi Sharia al-Islamiyya, a book about the fiqh of the women in the Sharia, which is 11 volumes long. In the last volume, he has a special chapter called The Khasa'is of Umilhat al-Mu'mineen, the issues of fiqh which pertained only to our mothers. And they were the following. First, that they were the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. And since they were the wives of Rasulullah ﷺ, they were our mothers. And this means that no one can marry them after the Prophet ﷺ. And this hukm was particular only to the wives of Rasulullah ﷺ. The second, as Allah said, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ, as Allah says in Surah Al-Ahzab, to stay in your homes, that the wives of Rasulullah ﷺ were ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stay in their homes until they left this world. The third is that the punishment and reward of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doubled according to the 33rd chapter of the Quran, the 30th and 31st verse. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them that if you are good women and believing women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply your rewards. And if you are evildoers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply your punishments. Inshallah, before we go, I think it's important that I mention to you some of the important resources which we used in preparing this wonderful series on the lives of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our mothers, Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. The first and foremost was the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الْكَلَامِ Kalam Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that indeed the best speech is the speech of Allah. And using the Quran with some of the great tafsir of the great, great scholars of our ummah, namely the tafsir of Imam al-Tabari, the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, the tafsir of Imam al-Qurtubi, and some modern tafsir, for example, tafsir al-Munir of Dr. Wahba al-Zuhayli, the tafsir Safat al-Tafsir of Imam al-Sabuni, and other great scholars of tafsir. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward all of them. Secondly, the purified sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with an emphasis on the Sahih Sitta, with a greater emphasis on the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari and the Sahih of Imam Muslim, with the explanation of Ibn Hajar Fath al-Bari and the explanation of Sahih Muslim of Imam al-Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi. In the areas of history and biography, we use the wonderful work of the great scholar and alama, Imam al-Dhahabi, Sira Alama Nubala, subhanAllah, a masterpiece of over 30 volumes on the history of the great scholars from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up until the time of Imam al-Dhahabi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him. Also the great book Ustul Ghaba of Ibn Athir, rahmatullah alayhi, another very important book on the history of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Also the wonderful book Al-Isaba of Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani, rahmatullah alayh. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward all of these wonderful scholars and to give them great, great hasanat in the hereafter, inshaAllah. Finally, let's finish this series on the lives of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ with a quote from Amal Qardash bint al-Husayn, who is a sheikha who at one time lived in the country of Qatar. And she wrote a book called Dar al-Mar'a fi Khidmat al-Hadith, the place of the woman in the service of hadith in the first 300 years of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, quote, "The mothers of the believers served as a great blessing in the spreading of the deen and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst the people, especially for the women of their time. And anyone who came to them with a question found an answer, and anyone who needed a fatwa was served, and anyone who came with a doubt left certain, and anyone whose iman was weak and they came to them left with their iman strengthened, to such an extent that the people would be shy to give fatwa as long as one of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ was still around." Before I go, I want to thank our dear brothers at Awakening Media, my dear brother Wasim Malik, my dear brother Tariq Abdul Wahid, and my dear brother Umair, who take care of the boards from Mecca One and all of the editing of these wonderful CDs. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala toward all of them. We finish now with a dua. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا يَا مَوْلَانَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَبَرَكَاتُهُ وَجَزَاكُمْ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا.
There's a sister who wants to say her shahada, so if I'm going to pass the mic to her, inshallah, if you can hold for a few seconds, brothers and sisters.
MashaAllah, what's your name, sister?
Sonia.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Sister Sonia, you're from the United States?
Yes, I am.
MashaAllah, how old are you?
22.
Okay, so what we'll do, inshallah, is I will say it in Arabic, okay, the shahada, and you say it after me, and then I'll say it in English.
Okay.
And then we'll give you some good news. Okay, alhamdulillah, this is the blessing of Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. Please repeat after me, okay? Can you hold up your right hand like this? Your index finger. Ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
Allah.
Allah.
Ilaha.
Ilaha.
Illa.
Illa.
Allah.
Allah.
Wa.
Wa.
Ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
Anna.
Anna.
Muhammadan.
Muhammadan.
Abduhu.
Abduhu.
Wa.
Wa.
Rasulu.
Rasulu.
I bear witness that there is nothing in existence worthy of worship
in truth
but Allah.
And I bear witness
that Muhammad
is his servant
and messenger. Congratulations, you are now Muslim.
Thank you very
much. Takbir.
Takbir.
Get the latest 2006 lectures. Maulana Sulaiman Mullah speaks on avoiding bankruptcy, the wisdom of Allah, respect and mannerism, the obligation of Quran, guidelines for teachers and parents, five great women in Islam, and more than 100 lectures available on audio or MP3. Plus the all-new titles by Maulana Sulaiman Mullah, Salah in the Life of a Believer, and A Role Model for Youth. Maulana Ahmad Sulaiman Katani speaks on the dignity of the Ummah, the appreciation of life and time, the rewards of Hajj, and the power of concentration in Salah, with more than 120 hours of lectures available on MP3. Mufti Ismail Meg 2006, The Role of Parents, Recognize Your Creator, and Abd al-Dunya, Slave of the World, an all-new Cape Town 2006 release. Also by Mufti Meg, Family Rights, It's Time for Change, Searching for the Light, Musa alayhi salam, two Jum'ah lectures, Increase Salam, Feed the Poor, Join Family Ties, and The Meaning of Dhikr. Get all Mufti Meg's tarikh Taraweeh Lectures from 2003 on MP3. Sheikh Anwar Awlaki from the USA with informative titles like Allah is Preparing Us for Victory, 25 Promises to the Believers, Quran, The Book of Tolerance, The Story of the Bull, Giving and Investing in the Hereafter, and many more outstanding titles available on MP3. Simtek CD Productions, bringing the sound of Islam to you. Simtek Islamic CDs, South Africa's leading Islamic media and audio CD manufacturer.